Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest today, or this evening, whenever you're listening, is Adam Teteris. Adam, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's exciting. This is one of the rare in-person recordings, so I am gazing into your eyes right now, creepily, I am sure. You're regretting agreeing to be on this podcast.
Yep. In fact, I am.
Excellent.
No, I'm really excited. I'm genuinely happy to do this.
Well, I'm excited and glad that we could get this together. Adam, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I run a little co-working community here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by the name of Indie Hall. I've been a member and a team member of Indie Hall for the past 5 years, so I'm very proud of that. And what have I done recently? I'm a co-host of a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Comic Book Junto. It is a show in which my co-host, Octavius Newman, and I talk about comic books and the philosophy of geek culture. And he and I are good friends. We go way back. We talk about geek stuff, movie trailers, pop culture news, and we do a book of the week where we talk about comics that we're reading. And a month ago, 4 weeks ago, I donated my kidney to that man.
Mm-hmm.
And he is doing very well, and I am doing very well. We have a few more weeks until we're like all healed up, but yeah, we're brothers now.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
I've been following along on the Twitter.
Yeah.
The progress of this thing. And it got me to thinking, I have a podcast, obviously, right? But I don't have a permanent co-host.
Yeah.
So if one of my kidneys fails, I'm screwed.
Yeah, he would have been completely screwed if he didn't have a co-host.
Yes, that's so he's a lucky man in more than one way.
Yeah.
But that is amazing. So I'm glad it all worked out. Because it seems like I read the, you know, it's not a given that you can actually donate, even if you're willing to, right? You
have
be a match. So it's just amazing that it all worked out.
It's really wild. He found out maybe 8 months ago that he has kidney disease. He was in stage 4. There are 5 stages and they only go one direction.
That's not good.
Not good. And he and I were doing the show together and he told me he was trying to get some stress off of his shoulders and tell me how he's been. And I asked, you know, what's your blood type? And he says, I'm O positive. And that makes it worse because I can give my blood to anyone, but I can only receive it from O positive. So I thought, I'm O positive. And we went through a lot of evals. I kept an open mind. I asked a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
We kept doing the show. 6 months later, lab work, blood work, everything is a perfect match. And we did it. We did the thing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Comic books and saving lives.
Well, that's it. See, I made him sign a contract. So now, like, he has to agree to every argument that I am always going to be the champion, the winner. He did not sign that contract.
Oh, no.
He didn't do it.
Oh, man.
He really should have gotten that in writing.
You should have. hindsight, as they say, is 2020.
2020.
Now, here's a fun fact about me, which is not as great a fun fact as you just gave,
because
it's hard to top donating an organ and saving a friend's life. So we are recording right now at this very moment at Indie Hall, which is a great space here in Philadelphia for people who are local and looking for, you know, freelancing or just co-working space. You should check it out. A link will be in the show notes. My fun fact here, Alex Hillman, who is one of the founders of Indie Hall, and I hooked up many years ago, so I've known him for a long time, and I believe I was either – it was either the first or second place that he looked at for Indie Hall. I was there helping look at it. I say helping, observing, really.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of just was following along.
You were witness.
I was witness. That's a good way of saying it. So
yeah.
I don't think that that space was actually what was the first Indie Hall. In fact, I know it wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's my Indie Hall connection.
I love that.
But that
was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. I'm an old man, Adam. Thank you for bringing that up. Who is getting a little
uncomfortable?
This
will be the shortest.
Yes.
Episode.
Well, thanks, Adam, for coming on. Good luck with that kidney.
So we
over Twitter, direct message, invited you on the show. You said I would be interested to be on the show.
Yeah.
But you had what you called a shameful confession, but I don't think it is shameful. So tell me what the shameful secret you've been harboring for all your geek life has been.
Okay. So as a co-host of a geek culture podcast, I do feel some shame, a pang of shame, of guilt in admitting that I have never seen Star Trek before.
You have never seen any episodes of Star Trek, any movies? How deep is this? How deep does it go?
This is the worst part. I have seen the latest films.
Ah, the J.J. Abrams films.
I've seen the J.J. Abrams films. Mm-hmm. Those have come across my path.
Mm-hmm. They count them as Star Trek.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is it is a divided opinion on and by divided I mean like not equal division, but what? For the most part, it seems like most Star Trek fans, most Trekkies, not really about it. I was entertained by them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've gone through stages of what happens when I admit this particular facet of my geek history.
Mm-hmm.
When I admit that I've never seen Star Trek, I am met by surprise.
Sure. I was surprised.
And then the second part is the person I'm talking to tries to effectively make sure I know I'm saying what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
They try to like, Are you sure?
You know, the one with Spock.
Exactly. And then I swear to God, inevitably, always run through Next Generation? No. Deep Space Nine? No. They go through everything. The Wrath of Khan? Tell me you've seen The Wrath of Khan. No.
Well, now I have to stop you. You have not seen... It's because I just assume everyone who likes movies and enjoys life hasn't seen Wrath of Khan.
I get it. And I want to say I appreciate you for forcing me from my shell. For allowing me to confess my guilt.
It's a safe space here. That's what I've said to everyone.
The public space.
It is the public safe space. I welcome all people to Random Trek, people who don't like Star Trek, although they generally don't accept my invitation. People who are neophytes. I like to think that I'm a prophet and guiding you towards Star Trek.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And my hope is this allows me to watch an episode with an impetus, mm-hmm. a direct impetus,
mm-hmm.
so I can talk with you about the episode and then get into it further.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say I'm late to the game.
That's right. There's plenty. And so the good thing is you have a whole world of great Star Trek to watch.
Yeah, if you're interested. How exciting is that?
No pressure. And we'll talk about the episode, which was Future Imperfect. I always assume it's going to be a surprise, but of course the title is in the title of the podcast.
That's right.
So Future Imperfect, which is a Next Generation episode, fourth season, episode 8. Not a bad episode, so you're lucky. There are a lot of bad episodes of Star Trek. I will say this right out front. A lot of bad movies as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a bad, probably not the best. In fact, it is not the best Star Trek episode either, and probably not a great introduction to Star Trek.
I've always told Trouble with Tribbles is the one that I need to see.
Oh, well, there are a couple. So
it's the recommendation I get frequently.
That's a good, because it's funny. So it's mm-hmm. a good intro for folks who are Star Trek curious and don't want to like hit the City on the Edge of Forever, which is probably the best Star Trek episode ever.
Okay.
It's also an original series episode.
Yeah.
So I would say try Troubles with Tribbles. If you like that,
mm-hmm.
you can then go to the Deep Space Nine episode, Trials and Tribulations,
ooh.
In which the Deep Space Nine crew travels back in time and appears in the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
Would you look at that?
So, and then, you know, you'd pick two great series and then watch some Next Generation. I don't know.
Everything you just said was effectively Charlie Brown's teacher.
Perfect. My job here is done.
But I'm into it. I really like it.
Well, so there's a lot of time travel in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. There's alternate universes. It's all kinds of wacky stuff.
I'm a comic book guy.
You know,
this is so... Mm-hmm. Of my alley. The X-Men make absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Time travel is a very, very big piece of the X-Men. Multiverse is a big thing in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm here. I'm with it.
You're with it. Now, I'm going to pause on Star Trek just for a second because I jumped in because I want people who are listening to realize that you are a neophyte and that we are all going down the journey of your first TNG episode viewing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talk about comic books, which you know far more than I do, because I will say this. When I was a kid, of course, I got into comic books because I was a geek and they were around. And that was just when Image was just starting and Marvel, I never really got into DC. Marvel was doing all the, and I don't know if they still do this, these gimmick multiple covers and glow in the dark covers and Silver Surfer cover that's silver and all this stuff. In the height, like the early to mid 90s is when I was into comic books. And that was when, you know, the speculators found it and things went crazy.
Yeah.
But since then, I have gone astray, and mm-hmm. I've tried to go back into comic books, and nothing has grabbed my attention. So my question to you, kind of reversing the tables here, is for someone who is vaguely interested in comic books or graphic novels, depending on how fancy you want to get.
That formality. You leave that at the door.
All right, good. Some people get very upset about, you know, calling them merely comic books or the funny papers, as I like to call them. I don't think they like that at all. What series or, you know, from anywhere would you recommend to someone who just wants to, you know, dip a toe perhaps in comic books and see what's what?
So in the same way that Trekkies often recommend a certain episode as a way of diving in, I have several series that I always have in the holster ready to recommend.
Ooh, I'm excited.
You mentioned Image was starting when you were reading comics.
Yep.
And Image is going stronger than ever. Image is an incredibly impressive creator-owned publication. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite writers of all time in the industry is Brian K. Vaughan. Mm-hmm. And Brian K. Vaughan and an illustrator named Fiona Staples, they work on a series right now called Saga. And if you read comics, you are not surprised to hear me say you should read Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Saga, it satisfies a great number of things. It's fulfilling and funny and dramatic and romantic and heartbreaking. And it does a lot of things that comics are not known to do, but the medium is absolutely capable of. So Saga is a very easy, quick recommendation. And I've been impressed with Marvel. I'm a Marvel guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like DC here and there, but I'm impressed with Marvel's ability to tell some very small solo stories recently.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites just wrapped up, and it was written by a guy named Tom King, and it's about the Vision, the synthezoid that we've seen in some
of them. Is that what he's technically, a synthezoid?
Yeah, that is the Latin term, I believe, which was penned by Ultron himself.
Oh.
But it's about Vision, who is a robot man, and he tries to settle down and build a family and become a normal person and live in the suburbs of Washington, D.C.
As you do.
Nothing about that should work. Everything does. It just wrapped up. It's a miniseries that I am completely enamored with. So there are so many that I could recommend, and that's a completely different podcast, so you will have to be on my show, and we'll have to turn the tables.
Well, I will happily, I will say, I will happily be on your podcast. That's not what I was going to say.
Right.
I have read Saga,
well,
parts of it. I read the first, whatever the, what do they call the trade? There you go. Yeah. This is how bad I am. I read the one, I went there, and then I immediately went out and bought the second one, and then I read that one, which was great because I have asked this. I have a lot of friends and people on the other Incomparable podcasts who love comic books, so they try to tell me the things that I should read, right? Because mid-90s, perhaps not the height of story-driven comic books. So
Clone Saga was great. I don't know what you're talking about.
And so the Saga always comes up, and Why the Last Man came up as well, and some other things.
Same writer, Brian K. Vaughan, did Why the Last Man. Why the Last Man, for my money, is my favorite series in comics, period.
Oh.
I love it. And I'm so impressed with where the industry is right now and storytellers and what they're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the height, the zenith of comics as a form of storytelling. And there are some really interesting, provocative stories to be told. So the bar has been raised, exponentially over just the past few years.
Yeah, and I feel like the art form has been always been used to tell kind of mature stories, but not necessarily from the big names.
Because
they were telling, you know, Tights and Flights? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Tights and something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, the capes.
Yes, right? Capes, capers, and all that stuff. So, but now people are telling all kinds of wacky stories, much like the television is in a golden era, a lot of people say, because we're telling all kinds of arc-driven stories and whatnot, which leads us to J.J. Abrams' Star Trek and why some Star Trek fans don't like them.
because
I happen to like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe. I think it's a lot of fun. I think that's what it's meant to be. That's what causes some Star Trek fans to be annoyed, because they have this image of Star Trek as telling these really thoughtful stories and dealing with common human things and really addressing societal problems, which is, of course, all true. But it's long been a TV thing. Mm-hmm. And with a TV show, 24 episodes, 32 episodes, however many episodes you get, you have the advantage of telling a variety of stories.
You have room to explore.
Exactly.
I know J.J. Abrams are, you know, action every minute.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of knee slappers and catchphrases.
Yes.
Whiz-bang pow, as mm-hmm. they say.
They do.
It's entertaining.
Which is the whole
nothing
point.
Nothing else. I think it was a nice invitation into the world of Trek.
Yes.
And I frankly, I appreciate the fact that it works within the multiverse,
mm-hmm.
and I like that angle.
Yes.
My understanding is it exists in the universe, but it is a different universe.
Yes.
I happen to appreciate those sorts of things.
I do as well, because it doesn't wipe out everything that Star Trek fans have been obsessing about for 50 years.
Yeah.
It just says also this, yeah. which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Although I think I'm sure some people who are listening now are deeply saddened that Benedict Cumberbatch is your Khan and not the correct Ricardo Montalban, but
he's Doctor Strange now.
He's all kinds of things.
He's everything.
Yes, and Ricardo Montalban also Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island. So
okay, yeah.
So you know everybody does it. But I will say, if nothing else, Adam, if you learn nothing else, you should watch Wrath of Khan, which is, I have said this many times before, not just one of my, in fact, my favorite Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
It is not just my favorite Star Trek movie. It, in fact, may be my favorite movie, period.
Wow.
So you don't even need to know anything about Star Trek
okay.
to watch it. It's not that long.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
You have yourself a deal.
And if you don't like it, I'll fully refund you.
Oh, good.
So there you go.
my total investment.
Let's pivot to Star Trek because we need to talk about Future Imperfect. So TNG, what did you know about TNG before you watched this episode to just level set? And then we'll go from there.
What I know about TNG is TNG, in my experience, is the most universally beloved of the Star Trek series.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes.
And Worf and Riker. I'm familiar with some of these names, but not necessarily their characters.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is TNG is the easiest loved, whereas I have plenty of friends who sing the praises of Deep Space Nine,
mm-hmm.
and I have plenty of friends who say they're all quacks, and that seems a more divisive series.
I will say your friends who love Deep Space Nine are correct.
Oh, good.
And the people who call them quacks are incorrect.
It's always good to know who I can trust.
Yes.
So now, I knew that I was going into the most comfortable setting,
mm-hmm.
So it seems. And at least I recognized a few faces. It was like going to a party where I'm like, I kind of know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we haven't really talked.
Right.
But I recognize you from around the block.
Yes. I think that's a good way. I would say, because TNG has just kind of been omnipresent, much like the original series. So if we watched an original series episode, you would obviously know all the characters, but well, the three main characters
yeah.
who matter. Now people are going to be angry. But also Uhura, Chekhov, and Sulu matter as well, but all Star Trek people matter. Deep Space Nine is difficult to get into,
yeah.
especially later seasons, because it turns into this arc-driven thing, which TNG is episodic because it's a late 80s, early 90s show, and mm-hmm. that's what they did, which is perfect. So that brings us to Future Imperfect, perfect. A segue. A bad segue. Future Imperfect is one of these episodes that I enjoy because it is playing with your mind a little bit.
Yes.
Which is good. And it features birthday cake.
So you should know that I took notes.
Oh, good.
I want you to know I took notes.
I'm glad.
I opened text edit.
Mm-hmm.
I jotted down anything that I observed.
Fantastic.
And one of my notes was, I'm glad we still eat cake in the far-flung future.
This is not the only episode of TNG that features many people eating cake.
Well, hell yeah.
Because cake is delicious.
Yeah, cake is delicious.
And I noticed a couple of episodes ago, we watched an episode I don't remember, which had a number of different Worfs, and cake was, because it was his birthday, so they were eating cake. I made a comment that they have giant slices of cake. In this episode, it is Riker's birthday.
Yeah.
Everybody's gathered around except for, oddly enough, Data and Picard. They're off doing their jobs, one assumes, or trying to avoid the social engagement in the case of Captain Picard,
yeah.
I think. And Riker's there. He's playing his trombone, annoying everybody.
Yeah.
And then they eat some cake. He makes a kind of a joke about a little oven. He blows out the candles and someone says, what did you wish for? and he makes like a leering
glasses.
Yes, and I was like, aha! And everyone eats giant pieces of cake. I enjoy that. The cake has very little to do with the rest of the episode, but...
But it, you know what was interesting is the intro for the show is so sci-fi, Captain's Log. And you know, I recognize that. It's deep sci-fi. It's hard sci-fi. And I was prepared for that. And the opening scene of this episode was... a man playing a trombone. And I thought, oh my God. Okay, this is Star Trek. Because
it is.
I think I remember when I was a kid, I loved Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And when I saw my folks watching Star Trek, I was like, this is adult stuff. They're just wearing weird suits and doing normal human things.
It's true.
I don't get it. So I think it took a long time for me to understand or have an appreciation of why that is significant.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the most quintessential experience where space, sci-fi, yep. sci-fi, and a man playing a brass instrument.
At his own birthday party his coworkers.
Good Lord. This is it. I just settled my hands against my face.
Yeah, this is, I mean, Star Trek does, as I've mentioned before, have all these, you know, high concept stuff. But at its core, it's a story about characters. And the interesting thing is that they have jobs and they do the jobs, maybe not well, but they do have the jobs.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're speaking of jobs. We have a sponsor for this episode.
Very fine segue.
Yes, thank you. I've been practicing. So I'd like to thank Geek Fuel for sponsoring this episode of Random Trek. Now, folks, you may be thinking, what exactly is Geek Fuel? Well, I will tell you, they ship out a mystery box for geeks and gamers each month that has at least $50 worth of value. And how much does it cost? I know you're asking. $15 plus shipping and handling. And they have the finest handling in the business, they tell me. And every box in this box, you'll get it every month. You'll open it up. You'll be excited. It has, you're guaranteed to have an exclusive t-shirt in there, a full downloadable game, not a demo, a full game. And a total of 5 to 7 geeky items. They mix it up to keep the mystery intact, I suppose. Now, since you fine people are Random Trek listeners, of course you get something bonus-wise.
So
birthday cake. Although that would be awesome if the first box you got had a piece of birthday cake in it. I'm not sure how they would do that.
How long has this been sitting in here?
I don't know if I want to eat this. We'll get a free bonus item in your first box if you sign up at this URL, which is geekfuel, geekfuel.com/randomtrek. You'll go to that URL. They'll ask you to pick a bonus item. And if you do, if you act now, one of the bonus items is Star Trek themed. So you should probably act now. I don't know if you know. You should pause the podcast, bring up your browser of choice, type in geekfuel.com/randomtrek, and then click a couple buttons, put in your credit card information. I'm not sure why I'm walking you through this. Yeah. Click confirm, and then wait a little bit, and you'll have a box of mystery arrive with a mysterious Star Trek bonus item.
Now, I don't have to wait 16 years for this, do I?
No. This is, I like what you did there.
Right,
this will come fast shipping and fine handling.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be at your door or wherever you ship it to. If you have a P.O. box, they'll ship it there. If you're on a military base, thanks for your service. They will also ship it there. Any place in the known universe.
Oh, wow.
That might be a slight exaggeration. At least the continental United States, I'm sure, even worldwide. So that URL again, geekfuel.com/randomtrek. Thanks, Geek Fuel, for sponsoring Random Trek. And now, Riker has eaten his cake.
Yeah.
He's played his trombone. Captain Picard seemingly gets a little notification on his desktop that you are late for Riker's party.
Mm-hmm.
Very late because he's blown out the candles already. They've eaten the cake. Picard is still not there, but he's leaving. And someone we will never see ever again before Picard and Data kind of boogie on down to Riker's place says, hey, I see some anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Captain Picard, not trusting this nameless person, says, Data, you should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we find out they're in this sector of space that has a secret or known to possibly have a secret Romulan base. Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, do you know who Romulans are?
Yeah, Romulan was one of the brothers who founded Rome.
True.
I think
Romulus and Remus.
Remulan and Romulan were the sons of space wolves. I knew that Romulans were not good guys.
Yeah, well, that's all you really need to know.
That was about all I had. And one of my notes, it says, here's... what's the deal with Romulans? So I felt a little Seinfeld, I suppose.
What's the deal with these pointy ears and pointy shoulder pads?
Yeah, yeah. I was really feeling that. Of course, we haven't gotten to this point in the episode, but
we can skip around though.
Romulans apparently dressed like Goombas from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I had never. Yes,
they looking like with the shoulder pads and real tall, looking like a Goomba.
Yep.
I was into that, and apparently they are. Absolutely powerless against one, being punched.
Yes.
And two, grates.
Yes.
You were hidden behind a grate.
Well, the little kid had a little wire that he twisted, and they're like, I don't know how to use this. So they must be somewhere else.
I'm just saying, I don't know if Picard is hiring, but I have two tactics that can stop Romulans every time.
Yes.
A ship shaped like a grate or a punch. Would nail it.
That
whole threat put it to bed.
That's right. The Romulan Star Empire would be stopped. yes. And there are, for Red of Trek listeners who know this, there are, in fact, the Romulans have a sister race called the Remans, which show up in one of the worst Star Trek movies ever. Oh. So we don't talk about them.
Which one is this?
This is the one...
I have to avoid it.
Not Insurrection. Is this the one where they go to
San Francisco?
No, that's a good one. That is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Uh-huh.
I have apparently blocked out the name of this movie. People who are listening to this podcast are yelling into their podcast.
I swear I did not intend to do this. This was not like, you know, at the end of this episode when Riker is challenging people to their information?
Yeah.
I was not intending to do this.
There's apparently, for some reason, there's a buffer in my computer, but Geordi's running a level 1 diagnostic.
Oh, good.
It'll be fine.
Good.
Star Trek Nemesis is, in fact, what I was thinking.
Got you.
That's one you should skip. Take it from me. Do not watch that unless you are very intrigued by Remans, which you should not be.
Good.
We're not even into the meat of the episode, though.
Yeah.
Riker's eaten his cake. Captain Picard says, oh dear, this weird anomaly probably means there's a secret Romulan base here, so let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls up Riker and says, I hate to break up your party, but you got a job to do, dude.
That's
put down your cake. Take Geordi and Worf with you. He doesn't actually say that, but I do like Picard calls Riker. Riker does not acknowledge it. He just points at Worf and at Geordi, and they all leave.
That's right.
So I made me wonder, does Picard even know anyone's coming? Because he doesn't even say anything. He does just go.
Yeah.
He's a man of action.
That's
Riker.
A good question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Riker very quickly said, Geordi, Worf, you're coming with me.
Yeah, you're on the team.
So I guess that's the crew.
That's the away team, as we say in Star Trek.
I see.
And they beam down to the old planet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't find anything. They're looking around in a cave, I think.
Quick question.
Yes.
No helmets.
Nope. We don't need them.
No breathing gear.
Nope. It's a Class M planet. They did say that earlier, which means it's breathable atmosphere for humans.
Yeah, and I think I think it was Geordi who said, we can breathe this, but I wouldn't have my vacation here. And I was just thinking, maybe I'll just put something on my head. Because what does very quickly happen...
That would have solved the essential plot element of this.
Pass the hell out.
Yes. Star Trek, I love Star Trek. And as I've been watching Star Trek, I have noticed many of these things where you think simple kind of procedures would solve many of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because Starfleet is dedicated to exploration and science and advancing humankind. But they're also a military organization.
Mm.
And I find that the military structure is a little lax in Starfleet.
Yeah.
People just doing whatever they want.
I see that.
Yeah, it's not good. So, yes, they're going to die in this cave that suddenly fills with gas.
Whoops-a-daisy.
And yet another nameless crew member is trying to beam them back up. She's having some trouble. Luckily, although we don't know this, she beams up – spoiler alert – she beams up Worf and Geordi. Fine. She can't get a lock on Riker.
That's right.
He passes out.
Yeah.
He wakes up. He's in sick bay. Good old Beverly Crusher's there. Nurse Sagawa is there. They're checking up on good old William T. Riker.
Yeah.
Who is befuddled as to why he's in sick bay.
16 birthdays later.
Yes, that's right. No cake.
He got a little gray hair.
He did. A little. It made him look distinguished.
Yeah.
I say as a man who has a lot of gray hair. he has some gray in his beard.
That's right.
So you notice that and you think something's not right. And if you're paying attention, and in fact, Dr. Crusher, they make it almost overly obvious for anyone who's just kind of paying attention to the comm badge, like Captain Dr. Crusher's comm badge is totally obviously like above her little lab coat. And you think that's different. And it is different because it's 16 years in the future. And William Riker is no longer second in command. He's
so
captain.
Glad you said that, because I pointed that out immediately.
See?
I said, Dr. Crusher, what's
up with your comm badge,
what's going
Dr.
On with
Crusher?
Comm badge?
Mm-hmm.
And what is a comm badge?
See, you have all the right questions.
Good.
Yeah. This little thing that they have on their chest, they tap it. It's the Starfleet insignia.
I see.
And it usually does not have the bars behind it.
I see.
And which denote rank in the 16 years in the future,
right.
Seemingly. Whereas usually, and I don't know why I'm bothering to explain this, but they have little pips on their collar that tell you what their rank is.
Oh,
and apparently
I see.
In the future, pips too much, they move them down to the communicator. I don't know why. So Riker's communicator has 4 bars because he's the captain.
That's right.
And everybody else has whatever bars they have.
Yeah.
So 16 years later, he wakes up. He's the captain. And, you know, he accepts this a little too readily in my book, because this kind of thing happens all the time on Star Trek. And there are some worrying aspects to this. The computer is very slow. Dr. Crusher, that's it, tells him he had some kind of weird disease that eats away memories.
That's right.
And flares up every 16 years or something.
And then it
devours your memories from the point of when you got the disease till now.
So what I wrote down in my notes is this a Memento situation? Is this the movie Memento, where Riker is experiencing his day and he is operating and existing, and then at the end of the day, none of that actually gets filed away and he forgets everything? Because the discovery through this episode is apparently he's been a very busy man.
He has been quite busy.
But he don't remember.
He remembers nothing. So he is captain now.
Yeah.
He has successfully negotiated a treaty with the Romulan Empire. He has a kid. His wife has died.
That was the best surprise. No one prepared him, okay? Someone walked with him to his quarters. Surprise, son. You have a surprise son.
Hey.
I'm just saying. I know Riker said, why didn't you tell me ahead of time?
And they said, Deanna Troi said, oh, we thought the shock would loosen up some memories. It seems a little weird.
Yeah.
He also meets Captain Picard, who's no longer our captain. He's an admiral. He meets Troi, who is, I guess, like an attaché for Admiral Picard. And they're there to do this treaty that Riker has apparently been integral in.
That's right.
But my other problem, is Captain Picard got a promotion. Deanna Troi did not get a promotion. She just got reassigned.
You know what? Isn't that how it goes?
Sexism in the future.
Unbelievable.
Even. But then Geordi, Worf, nobody else got a promotion. 16 years, and three people have had their jobs changed. Two people get promotions. One just gets moved. Seems a little odd.
Yeah, I noticed not a lot changed.
And nothing on the Enterprise changed.
Yeah. In fact, the first thing that I wrote down was, Riker looks awesome for this 16-year change, the 16-year coma.
He's very fit.
Fashion hasn't really changed, although you mentioned that
combat's changes. Yep.
I did really appreciate that Riker says, I'm not fit to resume command.
It is
and
true.
I thought, I wish there was someone who ran for president this week
topical.
Who might have mentioned that. As soon as it went through, I'm like, ooh, you know what? Caveat, I'm not fit to resume command. So I noted that.
Well, there you go. Those trenchant political observations. And so he's a little confused. And yes, he has a kid. No one tells him that he has a kid. The kid is named Jean-Luc, which is kind of creepy.
Yes, it is.
And no one tells him, oh, guess what? Your wife, who you had your son with, dead.
Yeah.
These seem to be things that you might want, because he could bring it up. meeting his kid who doesn't recognize him. He'll be like, oh, where's mom?
Yeah.
Which, in fact, he does.
Yes, in fact.
And he's like, oh, guess what? She's dead.
I also like that Riker at one point asks of his wife, his late wife, mm-hmm. he says, what was she like? And in my mind, I heard, was she hot? Can we make sure?
Yes.
Because I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Can we just verify that she wasn't?
This is... It works with Riker's character.
Yeah.
That is really what he's getting at. Like, who is this person?
And later it's revealed, in fact, that, you know, she was chosen because apparently he thought she was hot.
She was very hot, apparently. And this is the point at which he's like, okay, well, maybe I'll just call up some pictures of my family because I have no memory of the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. And the computer is like, oh, I need a moment because I have to... You know, basically, well, we find out why it needs a moment.
Yeah.
And then he calls up pictures and he says, wait a second. And this leads him off to confront Geordi. And we're not sure why.
Yeah.
And then he confronts Geordi and says, Geordi would never have to take this long for this level one diagnostic. And then he starts asking Data all kinds of questions, calculating warp time, drive, warp speed times.
Yeah.
And Data can't do it.
And Data uses a contraction.
Yes, which Data never does, although sometimes he does because they mess up.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, like comics, you know, as soon as something has been established mm-hmm. as a character, it cannot be guaranteed.
It is true.
For instance, my favorite comic book character of all time is mm-hmm. called the Man Thing.
Man
Thing is my absolute favorite. He has a very small fan base. I am the leader of that fan base.
You and three other people.
Very proud.
Is he related to Swamp Thing?
Man Thing preceded Swamp Thing.
Oh.
And the person who created Swamp Thing was living with the creator of Man Thing.
Whoa.
And 3 months later, Swamp Thing came out.
Did they break up their living arrangements?
No, because as it happens, this just happens in comic books. And you can mm-hmm. think of many similar scenarios mm-hmm. where the exact same characters exist in either universe, either publisher, DC or Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were so deep at this point in time. Are we really going to start things over this swamp creature? I think not. But Man-Thing has several things denoted about him. One of them is Man-Thing's signature is... he who knows fear burns at the touch of the Man Thing.
Ooh.
So if you have fear, mm-hmm. if you experience fear, if Man Thing touches you, you burn and you die.
Goodness.
Until they realize that that doesn't really work.
It's like everybody experiences fear,
exactly.
don't they?
Everyone. So that later changes into, if you're evil, then you burn. But they never really retcon that line. That line mm-hmm. is stuck with him.
That's his iconic line.
Yeah. Although so that's what I thought of the Data and the contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing we know about Data. But
it is. Sometimes he uses them because he's actually an actor behind some makeup.
Huh?
And sometimes, I know it's shocking, he's not an android. And so that's the thing, the one thing that tips Riker off. And he's like, aha, something is fishy. And then... End simulation. Turns out he is not on the Enterprise 16 years in the future. He is in this secret Romulan base that uses advanced, what you would call a holodeck. I don't know what the Romulans call it because they never mentioned one. And to trick him into giving them the location of Starbase 23, which Riker has foiled. So they throw him in the prison. He's there left to think about things. Who else is in the prison? But Jean-Luc, the kid, not Jean-Luc Picard,
that's right.
Who turns out his name is not Jean-Luc. It is, I guess he says Ethan. Is that what his second thing is? And then he and Ethan, he decides, you know, being a resourceful Starfleet officer, you use the resources you have. So he has to use this little boy somehow to escape the Romulan secret base.
Okay.
Which, when I said that, I realized I should have phrased it differently.
Hey, you know, words mean things.
That is true. So they collaboratively
yes.
Plot. Now, Ethan has an unusual amount of knowledge about secret caverns in this base.
That's right.
Leads me to wonder why he hasn't successfully escaped before. With Riker, they break out, they kill a couple or stun a couple of Romulans. They go into behind a grate.
Mm-hmm.
They turn a twist of wire
mm-hmm.
In hot pursuit. Three seemingly highly trained Romulan soldiers who spend about 30 seconds trying to move the grate.
Not
happy. They give up. They assume no one could get behind this grate because you would need Herculean strength. And so they go off and do something. And then Ethan and Riker hang out in this cave,
yeah.
chatting a little bit. And that is when Riker, Ethan, calls Tomalak, who is the chief Romulan and someone we've met before. Mm-hmm. So he's a known Romulan. Mm-hmm. Ambassador Tomalak. And he is not, in fact, an ambassador. Mm. And he never has been. But only in the simulation that Riker was in was he an ambassador. Mm-hmm. And so that makes Riker think, wait a second. Am I still in a simulation?
Yeah.
And he gets upset. He upsets Ethan. Ethan, the jig is up, basically.
Yeah.
And Ethan shuts down whatever fancy machinery he's using and explains that his parents basically abandoned him on this planet.
Yeah.
Because someone was trying to kill their species. Maybe not abandoned. They hid him there. That's a better way of saying
it.
To keep him safe. Mm-hmm. And they gave him these machines that read the thoughts and give you whatever you want in kind of a simulation, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of interesting. So he was basically giving Riker the scenario that Riker wanted.
Yeah.
And Riker is a little upset about this and says, you know, WTF, man. And this is when Ethan's like, I'm very sorry. And Riker's like, oh, you'll always be Jean-Luc to me.
Yeah. I thought, like, wow, we really sublimated some steps in this relationship.
Very short circuit.
Because you tricked me into living a fantasy in which you were my son. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you old so-and-so, the plot of Inception is taking place, and you
yep.
took me out of one fantasy level and into a different fantasy level, and mm-hmm. The way that I've decided to resolve this is you will always be my son.
You will always be my son. And then he drops his human look,
yeah.
and he looks like a wacky alien, is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. I perform a lot in nightlife. Mm-hmm. I am an MC for burlesque shows.
Sure.
So something that is a large component of burlesque is the reveal.
Ah.
So a reveal can be a number of things. Mm-hmm. Reveal most traditionally is taking an article of clothing off and being as bare as you will for that number. Mm-hmm. And that usually is the conclusion of the number. The reveal is sometimes other things. So for me, when I saw this little boy transform into, I think his name was like Boz or Basil.
Something.
Or some crazy looking alien.
He'll always be Jean-Luc to me.
Yeah, that was a very burlesque reveal. And I had very similar feelings as when I see a burlesque number. I'm like, oh, look at that. I did not see that coming.
See, there's a little twist at the end there. Yeah,
I liked it. I appreciated it. Mm-hmm. And his fingers were scary as hell.
His fingers were really kind of odd.
Yeah, don't touch me, kid.
Unsettling. He had very large eyes as well.
Yes, he did.
Very large. And so Riker says, hey, kid, it is indeterminate how long you have been locked here by yourself playing with your machines that give you whatever fantasy you want. But how about you come on the Enterprise and we'll take you away from all of this?
Yeah.
And he says, okay. And that's, I believe, the end of the episode. I don't think anything happens after that. Nope. They just transport up. And that's the last line is, to me, you will always be Jean-Luc.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which continues to be creepy.
Is he a kid who sticks around?
No. We never see this person again.
That's that.
He goes off and goes somewhere, and seemingly they leave this highly advanced technology that can read your thoughts and construct any fantasy you want just on this planet for anyone to find.
Oh. So we're just going to go ahead and squander that discovery.
Yeah, we don't need that. We have holodecks that are kind of like that, so it's good enough.
I'm looking at some of the notes that I took.
Oh, yes. So and, did we miss anything?
So a few of the things that I happened to find notable. One, the moment in the first fantasy when Riker's son breaks his arm.
Oh, yes.
I thought, boy, he was really going hard on that trombone, huh? Like, he was taking trombone lessons.
Yeah, no, but he was playing Parisi Squares.
Yeah, which apparently he should not have been doing.
It's an adult game, mm-hmm. kid.
He didn't check the label on the cover of the game, I think.
He did not.
M for mature.
He was like, I don't care. I am Jean-Luc Riker. I will do what I want.
also the family record visual that Riker plays back mm-hmm. revealed what might be the most terrifying clown I've ever seen in my entire goddamn life. And I was curious why that, of all things, would pop into Riker's mind.
Yeah, that is troubling. And also, my problem with that, so he plays back these family movies, which seemingly are recorded by some disembodied person.
Some Black Mirror
that's
thing.
Just exactly, just uh-huh. floating around, following the family around while they have creepy clown masks. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of kind of like tickling and giggling, which sure, our families do that, but this is conjured. You have to keep in mind this is conjured from Riker's mind.
That's right.
So this is what he wants to think. When he thinks family, he thinks tickle pile. But who am I to judge that? Makes him happy. It's okay.
And my absolute favorite piece of the entire episode, the best scene for me,
mm-hmm.
Was before we knew that the jig is up,
mm-hmm.
Riker shouting at Picard, shut up.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, I said Picard is like, what? How dare you?
He's clutching his pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that moment.
Yes, and he tells Data, shut up. You feel like it's a moment of catharsis, really, for Riker, too, because he's like, I've so wanted to say this on many occasions, but now I know that I'm in a simulation. I'm just going to let it rip.
Yeah.
Shut up, Picard. No one wants to hear what you have to say, Baldy.
Yeah.
And your little goatee, too.
Yeah.
Because, yes, future Picard has a goatee.
I liked the facial hair.
I thought it was good.
I thought it looked good.
Yes.
Oh, and not to mention the fact that the reveal that Min, Riker's ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
was actually a computer-generated
AI. A hologram that he had contemplated.
I love that more than anything because this was other characters saying, well, I pulled that into your fantasy because, you know, you were really attracted to that
you
woman.
You have strong feelings.
He's like, yeah, but hold on. She was a CG woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, but you were really attracted.
You were maybe a
to
little too
lady.
Into her.
Well, don't put me on blast right now.
That's right. Keep chill, man. Tomalog, keep it between us. Not all the Romulans like need to know this.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, please don't be recording this part of my life.
That's right.
Don't play this back.
We've all been lonely and in a holodeck.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't? So, Adam, now the question I have for you is, you've seen this episode.
Yes.
Have you, you watched it before we talked, so you mm-hmm. probably had some time in between then to watch another episode of Star Trek mm-hmm. because you had been so enthused.
How presumptuous
of you. I'm just saying you had the opportunity. I'm not saying that you did, but did this episode make you think, I got to see me some more Star Trek?
Yeah. In fact, it did. Hmm. I really genuinely appreciated the contrast of that hard sci-fi in the beginning mm-hmm. and then the first scene with Riker playing trombone, because mm-hmm. for me, that was a confirmation of some of the silliness that I expect in certain episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the people that I know who love Star Trek espouse that it is such a human, beautiful, intellectual science fiction mm-hmm. television show. And I can see at least shards of that, at least a peak of that in this episode,
yes.
in spite of it being very cheesy. And I think back to how much I deeply love Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
And
The reboot.
Okay. I just thought it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I have now officially watched an entire episode of Star Trek.
Excellent.
And then I had a conversation in which I talked about it and pulled mm-hmm. it apart.
Yes, this conversation. Spoiler alert.
My favorite things to do. So I think what is the name of the bug that Riker caught that makes him forget everything?
Oh,
I think I caught that bug.
I've forgotten the name of it.
Well,
it was like a
whatever
cerulean
disease
flu.
He contracted.
Oh,
I might have that because now my thought is I know where I can find it. It's on Netflix.
At Netflix, that's true. All
other
of it.
Places.
Altarian encephalitis.
Oh, good. I have it. Don't
well, don't get close to me. Although I could be Klingon, and they're immune.
That's a good point. I don't know if it's communicable. They didn't really talk about that.
It was not. They spent not too much time. And Geordi somehow, it skipped him. So.
Yeah, and they don't wear masks and helmets anyway.
No, it's safety.
I don't know.
The final frontier.
The point is I guess you did it.
Excellent.
I guess
my work here,
I'm a fan,
is done. And yeah. I will say, final thing, Ronald D. Moore, creator of the reboot,
mm-hmm.
Battlestar Galactica, cut his teeth writing scripts for Next Generation and later Deep Space Nine. So many of the things that come from Battlestar Galactica, you can draw a direct line from Deep Space Nine, later seasons of Deep Space Nine, to Battlestar Galactica.
That meta wisdom is mm-hmm. helpful. Because as a comic book fan, mm-hmm. I follow creators and mm-hmm. storytellers and illustrators. When I see names behind a new production, a new series,
mm-hmm.
I go with that name. I trust you to tell me a good story. And I am so, so, so deep for Battlestar Galactica that, well, how could I not?
There you go. I think we have ourselves a proto Star Trek fan. We know you've got to settle into it. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think you might like it.
I'm very proud to say, in this day and age where we binge watch TV shows, mm-hmm. I started with the 8th episode of season 4.
It's perfect. All right. Starting point. I will say, TNG, first two seasons, not very good.
Uh-oh.
No. So you might want to skip them and go back later. The first, also, Deep Space Nine, first two seasons, not super great.
Well, we're really just getting our footing, huh?
Well, it's true. The original series, though, the first season of the original series, fantastic.
Yeah.
Although it is 50 years old, problems come with that.
Sure, sure.
Pacing, all kinds of different kinds of things. And Enterprise, you can skip. Voyager is good, better than a lot of people give it credit for. So,
okay.
But also the first season, not very good.
I need you to write this down.
It's on the internet.
Great.
Just check. Just go to Google, type in Star Trek. You'll find a plethora of information at your fingertips.
See, that was the problem to begin with. I just went down one subreddit rabbit hole, and people won't stop DMing me about how I'm an idiot for not knowing until now.
People, fans can be difficult.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what's not difficult. Having you on the podcast. Adam, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure. It's all mine. And now we're done.
Is there a greeting or a goodbye in Star Trek?
Well, the Vulcan greeting, live long and prosper.
Yeah. Well, Nanu Nanu.
That Mork.
Yeah. Shit.